ladies and gentlemen, behind curtain number three, is it Jim Lynch?
It is.
I'll get you no matter what.
That's good. I just had to make him not call you. I could envision another 7.5 minutes of misses.
Now, Jill, don't get sarcastic.
That wasn't sarcastic.
You're too nice to do that.
That wasn't sarcastic.
To a guy who came from the time of Abraham Lincoln, according Mr. Marshall Miles.
Hey, Abe and Marshall.
I'm not even going to give him the latest baseball info. So, Marshall.
Opening day. But Marshall and I were just talking before you, before we did this.
Before I interrupted. I'm so sorry.
But we weren't on the air. And I, you know, we were talking about Michael Avenatti, and what we were talking about really was that we live in such a visual culture because of screens, okay. But what used to be a requirement for functioning, which is to say street sense, street smarts, whatever you want to call it, just where you can recognize that someone may not be on the up and up, it's an automatic, it's kind of radar.
It's, you know, the whole thing.
What happened?
Because the net.
Well, I think it's similar to Donald Trump. Yeah. You know, we should have recognized he wasn't on the up and up.
But
I find great pleasure, not for Mr. Avenatti, who I think has displayed a lot of courage and chutzpah, but it's so funny to see one criminal take down another, namely Avenatti taking down Trump. I agree with you, Jill. We should have seen it. I mean, his belligerent approach. I always thought his bombast was dedicated to, you know, helping his client and to get on TV. And obviously he's had other designs. But in any event, he got himself into too much debt, I think, and got desperate because his approach to hijacking Nike was totally stupid. I mean, you know, a major corporation, you just don't play around, say, oh, I'm going to sue you.
You know, that's the whole thing. The thing that revealed to me about Avenatti was how he kept coming up with clients after he got on TV the first time. When he was on TV the first time, he was...
The only person who was complaining about him was his wife when he was on TV the first time.
He was there, and he seemed like a champion of somebody who got basically screwed, but all of a sudden, client after client after client, and you can see that he was trying to build something. It was obvious from the first time on. But then, Jim, that's what the networks do. I mean, they put anybody on that they can put on that they think will make a news story, and that's all of them. But anyway,
amen, brother.
Anyway.
Amen. That's the problem in this country now.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to get into the bar thing because, frankly, I've had enough of it, and we need to get simply the report and get the answers. I think we should get Mueller up there firstly. What went on between you and Barr when you concluded this final four page, which Barr did? But let's get him up on the hill. But back to the media. I mean, the media now, some very reputable journalists are being taken out by people like Howard Dean, who are saying, hey, fellas, you know, don't give us all this hyperbole. Read the report. The report's not out yet, and you're kind of saying you have an opinion, and you're not supposed to do that.
Well,
that being said, my topics this morning, I just want to run through them and get back to them. But indeed, they do have a very strong relationship to the media or the lack of it servicing us as American citizens. You know, this thing with Trump and Barr and everybody, yes, it's major. But people have got to get up in the morning and live just a normal life and do the best they can. So here are some of the things I want to talk about. One, it's a virus spreading in this country. It's a virus of terror and despair as a result of the gun violence that we've seen throughout our country during the last several years. And I think it can be characterized as a national emergency. Get back to that. These floods in Nebraska, where these people are losing farmland that we in the country rely on for food, nobody cares. The government doesn't care. The media doesn't care. And, you know, it's like by not focusing on these things that really impact our daily lives, it gives us a sense of I don't think well-being. I think it gives us a sense of uncertainty because we know something's going on, and we don't get the information. I think it's deplorable, so disgusting, so terrible. All these forgotten, kidnapped kids at the border. For God's sake, this is humanity. It's not a matter of Mexican or Guatemalan or U.S. 4, 5, 6-year-old kid. How dare you? How dare you not go after them? And where is the media on it? The media is where I was going to characterize the media as the Republicans, but it's not true. The Republicans basically lack spine, though. They've given over to the, shall we say, the dark side.
Well, let me just interrupt to say, there's been some excellent journalism. That is not the point. The point is that if you are going to, as an editor, run your news gathering off punditry, you're going to get into difficulty. Yes, it is a pretty, hate to sound like Marshall, but it's a pretty simple equation. And that's just the bottom line. And people, consumers, need to know the difference between opinion, which everyone is entitled to, and flat journalism, which is the responsibility of newspapers. Cable news never said, they never promised you a rose garden. They never said that they weren't going to be opinionated and have people on expressing their opinions.
Well, the thing is, Fox News is a great example of the profitability of diluting news so that it can be digested by a lot of people who want it, and has become very popular. And it's sad that the general media is going that way.
Why? They're making money.
Because the general media has received, and maybe this is the problem, a bonanza from Donald Trump being in office, because the revenues of the Times and the Post have been soaring as people have been looking to read and so forth. The problem is they've got to get back to, for our sakes, I mean, the media has our eyeballs in various ways. They're given that in a democracy. We give it to them as citizens, and they shouldn't capitalize on the freedom that we give them to turn it around and give us less freedom by giving us less cogent information. Two last things, and then I'd like to get back to the terrorism aspect of our country. The ACA, commonly known as Obamacare, continued under Republican attack. Pay attention, write your congressman. And lastly, in terms of this political thing that we're seeing now over the Mueller investigation, a fellow named Colbert, who some of you probably know, did a great takedown on this situation last night when he had this big board of all the investigations of the president. And so he said, well, okay, let's take off the Mueller one. And after he took off the Mueller one, there were about 16 other investigations of the president. New York State doesn't have any problems in getting Donald Trump's tax return. New York State has all his past tax returns. They have all his business filings. So I expect New York State to come down very, very hard. And I don't know. Bottom line, I think he can take most of his money. I think that's the potential. Let's get back to what's going on with gun violence. I guess you've heard, and maybe you've avoided it. It's very difficult to read, but two young people, one a 19-year-old young woman, very vivacious, very together, very into yoga and exercise and good-looking stuff, 19 years old, Aiello is her name. She took her life. She was saved in the Parkland debacle where all those kids were killed. And unfortunately, as she complained to people as time was going on, every time she went back to the classroom, she was in fear for her life. She committed suicide. I don't have quite the story on another young man who killed himself, but again, relating to the terror at the school. And lastly, yesterday, a 40-year-old father, a neuroscientist, who lost a 6-year-old and in up in Connecticut, he took his life. And this man had created a foundation in his daughter's name to work for doing something about gun violence. The folks, this is it. I mean, this is not esoteric. This is not philosophy. It's not right or wrong, right or left, black or white. This is humanity. We are letting the government of the United States take away pieces of our humanity. We are being forced to live in fear because we cannot overcome, apparently, the NRA and all the money the various politicians have been taking from them. This horror in New Zealand was the leader there within 4 days said, that's it for guns. Here's the thing. We are forced to register our cars in the United States of America for two reasons. First reason is if there's an accident, we can identify the person. If they kill somebody in the street, we can identify the person. We all agree to that. I mean, it's just common sense. What is so difficult in registering a gun? It's the same premise. If somebody killed somebody with a gun, we should know who that person is. And if they've been registered, we will know who they are. What I advocate is very simple. All guns registered, that would be handguns, shotguns, long rifles, which are just one-shot rifles. Totally banned would be automatic weapons. And for those people selling guns, authorized or not, 25 years to life in prison. End of story. No plea bargaining. Put them away. That's the only way we're going to solve this damn thing, taking the profit out of it. If you have young children who go to a school, if you happen to go to the mall with great regularity, yes, get your antennae up. Yes, go into fear. We have a lot of mental illness in this country. One, because we're so big. Two, we have a lot of veterans coming back from war. Three, we've had a drug problem, which is called mental disease. We need to protect ourselves.
Well, Jim, look, I think what NPR had a feature on today.
Marshall, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Okay.
NPR had a feature on this morning, and it was they said, we want to warn you, we're going to talk about death and that data. And it was a psychologist on, the psychologist was talking about how suicides like this come in streaks at time because of a lot of different factors. And it was really an 8-minute filler set that anybody should know to be true. But when you have two students who survived a shooting commit suicide, and then you have a father commit suicide years after his daughter was shot and killed at the age of 6, there's one thing people don't realize, and I when the New Zealand shootings came up, I was wondering two things. A, when's the next idiot going to show up and try that? And B, the effect it has on the survivors of shootings, especially school shootings, because you go to school. You have to go to school. School used to be a place of refuge. Well, it is no longer a place of refuge, not even here in Sharon, Connecticut. It is a place where, as a parent, when you send your child out in the morning, there has to be always a question mark in the back of your mind, will my child come home? Will my child come home from school today safe and unscathed? That is a problem that is not being addressed in this country.
And it's not being talked about. And apropos the NPR, we have now made it in news presentation. You want to trigger people's anxieties or anything in the conveying. So you're almost strangling the ability to have helpful and good communication about something. If you're not allowed to say, if you have to warn people, that it might trigger their...
But also, at the end, they gave the National Help Hotline, which is fine. But you know what? It's not going to be a radio piece that talks about it. The government has to fund some study or some project that envelops all these people and the families to stop this. Otherwise, you're going to have many, many, many more suicides. And you know what? You're going to have many, many more parents pulling their students out of school sooner or later.
Homeschooling their kids?
Sooner or later, that's going to happen. Our society cannot function the way it's functioning right now, Jim, with the fact of guns and the shootings in schools.
And
it just can't function this way. I have no answers for how we fix it, but I can tell you that we had better put a full court press on with psychological help for everybody, and that should be paid for by the government, which comes around to my next topic of health care. I mean,
pay attention, boys and girls.
We are right now in the point where, once again, the Trump administration is going forward, and they're going to try to completely dismantle Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, which insures still to this date about 30 million people. It's the totally wrong move at the totally wrong time. You know, if we can't address gun violence before it happens, damn it, we should be able to address it after it happens.
And there's
what is government for? Yeah. Government is for the people. And the government is not working for the people. They're out there politicking, getting contributions to go back to Congress, to get lobbyist money, to set themselves up when they leave office, to get jobs as lobbyists or in the private sector. We've got to put an end to this.
You know, and
it's too easy for politicians to get money. And we know this from the last thing that Citizens United that gave everybody the opportunity to get all the money they wanted from people who wanted something from government. Well, individuals wanting something from government and getting it is not democracy. It's I don't know what quite the term is because these are modern days, but it certainly creates this lack of equality in voting. And it gives people a sense of not enjoying the fruits of a democracy, is that we're all equal under God, not necessarily saying our talents are the same, nor our ambitions, nor maybe our accomplishments, but it is an equal footing. We can try. We can do this, that, and the other thing. The whole country is subject to this. Whether you're black, white, Latino, Democrat, Republican, liberal, libertarian, whatever. And please wake up and start talking at these coffee clutches. Marshall is great in telling you about local political things going on. Get there and get going. Have little committees to go off and to do certain things with a given politician. Now, in Connecticut, you do have some great people, you have great people up there who represent you, the big guys.
They have good people in New York
City. But you've got to get to them. I mean, you know, let's not get blindsided and just take this one emotional topic that the media gives us. Let's live our lives.
Yeah, we only have a minute or two left, and all I'm going to say is, whether you agree with her politics or not, the young girl I can never pronounce her name, so I don't try it.
AOC,
who unseated a popular Democrat. She unseated a popular Democrat, a basically good guy, old-time Democrat. But that's what we need, and you need people to show up at the polls.
People don't understand that she unseated him because no one showed up to vote in that primary. That's how it happened.
No one showed up to vote in that primary, and she offered something that was
totally...
And
her constituents, her local constituents, she was out there doing it, so she got elected.
And he was
in Washington.
And that's why you should...
And that was Nancy Pelosi's deputy. I mean, that was the person who was supposed to take over the Democratic Party.
But that's the reason you should get out and...
Vote locally?
Vote locally, vote regionally, vote nationally, because that's the only way you're going to make any major changes in this country or change the direction.
Amen. And you folks have been mentioning that for years. And you know, finally, a lot of people came out in November who wanted to do it differently, and they succeeded in their voting. It's like when you begin winning at a game or business or whatever, get the confidence from that and the energy from that to go forward and vote again and participate as much as you can in the local politics that you're involved in. What was the great House Speaker's name?
Tip O'Neill.
All politics are local. I have two experiences, a lot of word of mouth, from two major cities, New York City and Chicago. And when they were both thriving and coming up politically, Mayor Daley, Carmen DiSapio, various people, Chicago, New York, the one thing they did, whether they stole a little money here or there or did a little patriot, they took care of people. They took care of people. And that's what these politicians are supposed to be doing. Hold them accountable, but I would suggest, as we're leaving, hold yourself accountable to take responsibility for your God-given right of citizenship in this country. If you look at the rest of the world, we are the luckiest people in the world.
All right.
And I think having that kind of gratitude and awareness is very crucial to your success and the success of this country going forward.
All right, Jim. We will speak to you next week.
Okay, it's a little chilly, but I'm going to get out there and feel some grounders.
Okay.
Have a wonderful week. And God bless America, and God bless you, and never give up. See you.